The Navigators is an international, interdenominational Christian organization whose objective is to help fulfill Christ's commission to make disciples of all nations. They individually teach the basics of the Christian life to new believers, who then teach others. They work on campuses, military bases, and among lay men and women on every continent.
He has made himself known. Therefore, the disciples' aim is to know him. Not only has he made himself known, and our aim is to know him, but he is sovereign. Therefore, the disciple will glorify God through an attitude of thanksgiving because of knowing who he is. In the word sovereign, we have reign. The Almighty God reigns. And David expressed this in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. Who do you say that I am? David knew who he was. And he says this, therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. In thy hand are power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. What's his response? And now, therefore, he says, we praise thee, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. Praise and thanksgiving to God comes out of who he is. And as we know who he is glorified as we give him thanks and praise. Through word and through action, God is glorified as we give him thanksgiving and praise through the word of our mouth and through action of our life as it was lived out. Hebrews 13:15 in the Amplified says, through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. The disciple will glorify God through an attitude of thanksgiving and praise. And he will want to thank and praise God as he knows who he is, as he gets to know Jesus Christ better. So it is so important that we aim to know him. Through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. God desires that we glorify him. And he will be glorified through the attitude of thanksgiving as we get to know him. Now, we'll get into this. The scriptures are very plain that we are to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's very clear. Thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. But thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances will be. This will glorify me. This will be your sacrifice of praise as you give thanks by word and by life. He says in Philippians 4, verse 6, don't fret about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Because he says in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy in knowing who he is. Who he is to you, he will be your strength. And according to who he is as you know him, your lips will praise him and your life will be a fragrance, an offering of thanksgiving, a sweet-smelling savior. Now, one of the first signs of a Christian backsliding in his faith is being unthankful to God, ungrateful. It doesn't sound very offensive, but it is very offensive to God. In Romans 1:21, and you know Romans 1, it starts on man's slide downward in what he is becoming more debauched and more of a sinner, however that happens, a picture of man's wickedness. And it starts this way. Because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. But instead, they became futile. This is Romans 1:21. And godless in their thinking, with vain imaginings, foolish reasonings, and stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. When they could see who God was, who did they glorify? Themselves, not him. It was who they were, not who he was. And God will be glorified, or nothing will happen through your life. Without me, you can do nothing. And unless God gets the glory, nothing will happen through our lives. So, because they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify or give him thanks. And they were on a downhill slide. 2 Timothy 3:1-2. But understand this, that in the last days, there will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For peoples will be lovers of self, you say terrible, self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And in that long list of evils, God slips in ungrateful. And how, Lord, could you put that in that long list? Because when we are ungrateful, he is not glorified, and he will receive the glory. I am the Lord. Don't forget, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 42:8. God will be glorified through our thanksgiving and praise of our life. And the first sign of backsliding in a Christian faith is being unthankful and ungrateful. Why do we forget to praise God? Why do we forget to give him thanks? Well, it's part of the fallen nature. It's part of Satan's strategy. He wants us to forget who he is. His strategy is ever to keep before your mind, before your eyes, who you are. Not who he is, but who you are. So he wants you to forget. Now that works for our good, not only for our bad. In other words, When Jesus Christ comes into our life and forgives us of our sins, he hides them as far as the east is from the west and the north is from the south in the deepest sea, and he wants us to forget. Thank God, that's just part of this thing, I can forget. He washes them with his blood. Forgive us from all unrighteousness, and we do forget. God helps us to forget. So, forgetting is not all bad, but it is bad when we forget his goodness to us. Psalm 106:1, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 106. Verse 7, our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider thy wonderful works. They did not remember the abundance of thy steadfast love. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. They forgot what he had done. They forgot what he had said. But in verse 45 of Psalm 106, it says, but he didn't forget. He remembered, for their sake, his covenant, and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Although they forgot who he was, he had made some promises, and he is faithful, and he didn't forget. He kept his promises according to who he was, Almighty, faithful God. So we forget because we're human, and thank God we can forget when God cleanses us from our sins. We forget our sins, but we can't forget, we shouldn't forget his righteousness, and we do. And that's what's the bad part about it. So what do we have to do? Therefore, in Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, only take heed and keep your soul diligently. Therefore, face who you are. You're human, and we do forget who God is. We forget the wonders of his person, and therefore God says, take heed, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. We're to make them known to our children and to our children's children. Pass on these things that God does for you. Tell stories of how God has been faithful to you, to your children. This was part of the Old Testament heritage. They were to pass on so they wouldn't forget who God was and that they would be grateful and bring glory to his name, Almighty God. You say, but Bob, how in the world do I do that? Well, keep a book of remembrance. Deuteronomy 8:2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you and test you, and know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you. Don't forget. Remember. Keep a book of remembrance. As God reveals himself to you through his holy word, as you enter in to a relationship and you interact in obedience to the word of God and he reveals himself as the great I am, write it down. Don't forget. I was telling you last night about God, our provider, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I always thought of myself that I was going to be a businessman and I was not going to be on the end of receiving. I was going to be on the end of giving. And one day I found myself trusting God, believing God on the end of the receiving end, just of the financial end of it. I don't know why God does so much through finances, but he does. This was really hard on my parents as we went into this kind of work. They were very shaky about us doing what we were doing. We were shaky. But thank God, somebody helped us to believe. They showed us that God was trustworthy. That was Leroy. Leroy Imes, who's on the Navigator staff. We lived with him We watched him take the word of God, believe it, step out on it. And God was faithful and provided his needs. And one day, I left on the first assignment for the Navigators to Bloomington, Indiana. Rod Sargent said, God bless you, brother. Said nothing about a budget, nothing. God bless you. And I knew what I was supposed to do. So my wife and I just married with all our wedding gifts in the car, loaded up, and we had a few bucks in our pocket. We headed to Bloomington. Well, God wanted to continue to show us who he was. So as God provided and as he showed us who he was, we got the book of remembrance. We said, Marilyn, let's keep a book of remembrance. Let's not forget this. This was just in one area. So we would write down how God showed who he was. I am your provider. And we'd write the stories down, you know. Or it was how God proved himself to be our righteousness or our peace. And we wrote this down. And then, you know, time would go on and we'd forget. And there'd be another challenge before us. Maybe it would be, I remember one summer they said, come on out to the Glen, speak at some conferences, but told us not how we would get there. Same, you know, challenge again of faith. So I began to grumble and gripe and complain. And I thought, what am I doing? Honey, get the book of remembrance. So she'd go get the book of remembrance and she'd open up and she'd begin reading of the faithfulness of God. And we could not get through that book before we would get on our knees and we'd say, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that as you said you are, so you will be to us and whatever our need is. And we thank you'll be that to us. One time, I'll never forget it, Mom and Dad were visiting us at Christmas time and they were sitting around the breakfast table and the mail came in right to my right. So I pull out the mail, and in the mail, they knew we were supposed to go to a conference, and a businessman on the East Coast sent out a check, and they got to see that happen. God provide, be the provider. And I think my mom talked about it until her dying day, of how God was a provider, and that he would provide, and he would, but that was an illustration they got to see. Take heed. Keep thy soul diligent not to forget who he is. You're human. And it's part of Satan's strategy to get you to forget who he is, but always keeping before you who you are. Now, why would God desire that I give him praise and thanksgiving? Why would he desire that I remember who he is and reflect his praise? We talked about it. First of all, Hebrews 13:5, it glorifies him and he will have glory from your life. That is the objective of your life. He will not have you strong arm him for his glory. If that's the case, there will be frustration. There will be fear. There will be discouragement because he will receive the glory. And that was part of our problem a year ago in Beirut. God hit the nerve and he put his finger on my life, an area of lordship that I had never dealt with. Bob, who's going to get the glory for your life, you or me? You decide. It can't be both. And we are so concerned as missionaries about production. There is so much that goes into getting a missionary overseas. Prayer, money, time, thinking. And then you hold your cup at the other end of the machine. And it's so many times the results that you can see is drip, drip, drip. And you crank up the machine and you prime the pump and you kick the thing and you try it one more time. Drip. Drip. When I was alone with God, he said, Bob,
I am God. That is my name. My glory I'll give to no other. Will you do my will to my glory if there are no results? And that day, I bowed my head and I said, God, I will do your will to your glory if there are no results. And war just blew Lebanon apart. Because he says, you see, I'm God. It's my prerogative whether I'll show you results or not. Whether I'll show you my glory. Results are my glory. Get your hands off my glory and do my will if there's no results. And I said, yes, Lord. God will not be arm wrestled for his glory. He will have glory through his name, through your life, to his name. So God desires that we give him praise and thanksgiving because it glorifies his name through him. Therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name through your life and through your lips. He will have glory. Secondly, he wants us to praise and thank him because he really knows, as we do that, we get to know who he is even more. Just through an act of obedience. Now, as a young Christian, they'd say, praise God. When you begin to pray, you praise. Man, I'd wind it up and give it all I had to praise God in prayer, and I'd get about 5 words out. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your salvation. And I'd run out of gas. Well, partly that's just through not knowing him. So I went to the scriptures. And I found David, who just loved him, knew him. A man after his own heart. And I memorized 1 Chronicles 29:10-16. And I quoted that as we began the message. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. And you know, as I would read over those verses and as I would pray over them in obedience and I would praise God, I would see who he was. And as I would see who he was, I would pray prayers that were worthy of who he was. Napoleon had this lunatic come into him and make the biggest request of Napoleon that his secretary said, you're mad, he'll never grant it. The man came out, Napoleon had granted it. The secretary asked him, why? Why did you do that? Because he said, he asked something worthy of me. Worthy of who I was. And as we see God, who he is, we will pray according to who he is. We will pray God-sized prayers as we thank him and praise him and give him glory. We will bring honor to him by the way we pray to him. Oh Lord, that you know that I need this. And if you could just squeeze it out, Lord. Almighty God of heaven and earth, maker of heaven and earth and all that is therein, both riches and honor are of thee. Now, if you could just, or God, because do you see who he is? We pray according to who he is. And as you enter in to the obedience of praise and thanksgiving as a discipline, it will help you see who he is. It will help you to want to know who he is. Ask God to reveal who he is.
Why does God desire that we give Him praise and thanksgiving? It glorifies Him, but He also knows it helps us. Because we see Him as who He is. Well, why does God want praise and thanksgiving? As I give Him praise and thanksgiving, I see who He is, and then I can see from His perspective. It's my platform of further learning of Him. A disciple is a learner. And as I see Him as Almighty God, I get a perspective on my situation from His point of view. You can't see anything from a hole. And when you get discouraged and down and everything goes to pot, and you're grumbling and you're griping, how do you get out of the hole? You're sure not going to be able to grow from there. God says, give me praise. Give me thanksgiving. And I'll show you this situation from my point of view. You'll see it from a mountaintop and not a hole. He'll lift you up to who He is, and then you'll be able to see things from His point of view. So He says, now don't have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why the with thanksgiving? Let your requests be made known unto God. Because with the thanksgiving, we get our perspective of who He is. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He wants us to praise and give Him thanks because it glorifies Him. It helps us to see who He is. As we see who He is, we get perspective on our situation, and it's our platform to grow and to go from truth to truth, from light to more truth as a disciple. He wants me to give Him thanks because it is a step of commitment that I believe God's Word, and He is going to do what He says He'll do. Now, it's very interesting that in John 11, 40 and 41, Jesus gave thanks before He received the answer. He wants me to give thanks because it's my commitment to Him that I believe His Word. He's going to act according to His Word. And Jesus did it. In John 11, 40 and 41, Jesus said to her, "Did not I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Oh, so they took away the stone. Here comes Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but I've said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. But I'm just thanking You as a commitment that I believe You." My boy is an encouragement to him when he prays. Out of the mouths of babes come words of wisdom. So Stevie prays at night, and "Lord, thank You that You're going to do this, and thank You that You're going to do that." And he's thanking Him and thanking Him and thanking Him. Man, it's not even happened yet. He's just thanking Him. It's a commitment of his little faith. He believes to him, God's going to do it. And God wants me to thank Him before it happens. Just to say, "Lord, I know You're going to be faithful to Your Word." Now, every fall in our home, when we were in the States, we had fellows and girls living with us, and it seemed like we were always like David. He had the destitute and the poor and all the outlaws around him. And it seemed like we had the same thing. We had all fellows, young fellows and girls living with us who had 100 needs. So what I'd do is, I'd say, "Is God true to His Word that He says He will supply your needs?" "Yes, He's true." "Okay, let's list them. Terry needed that. Betty needed that. Karen needed that. Charlie Green needed that. And we listed them all down, all of them in a long list. Now I said, and one of them was, I think I had four teachers in my home, they all needed jobs. And we arrived in Lansing after school started, because everybody had been in a training program. So I said, okay, let's begin to thank God that he will be faithful to himself and he will supply our needs. So we prayed for the things, but we thanked him. God, thank you that you will be faithful to your person. One day, knock on the door. Marilyn went to the door. It was a principal of a school. They said, we heard you have teachers living here, and we have need of two teachers. Is that true, you have teachers living here? Yes, we do. Are they available to work? Yes, they are. We've been asking God that he would supply a job. Now, they'd been out looking, but God just wanted to bring something home to us. He came to the door. The principal came to the door to give us the jobs. Lord, I just want to give you thanks before, because you're going to act according to your word, your nature. Now, that's the opposite of worry. God's word says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God or are called according to his purpose. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God's word says, he doeth all things well. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God's word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God's word says, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God's word says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Worry says, thou liest, O God. And when we worry, we accuse God of falsehood. And he says, God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19. Why does God want me to thank him and give him praise? Because as I thank God, I accept his sovereignty for my life. I say, Lord, you reigneth. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in what? All circumstances. While Beirut burns. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, in the midst of this difficult circumstance, in this disappointment, in this tragedy, Lord, we thank you because you are in control of my life. Nothing just happens. I am your child and you reign. You know what is best for me. And therefore, God, I give you thanks. In 1972, I went to Reno, Nevada in March to be with my dad as my mom was very ill. Jim Downing called and said, you better get here, Bob, not so much for your mother's sake. Your mother's very ill, but you better get here for your dad. Emotionally, he's not able to take it. So I went to be with Dad while I was in Reno, being with my dad. My mom died, and I buried her. And just as we were there, I got a telegram from Doug Sparks saying Leela has cancer. Doug Sparks of Europe, my boss. I was shocked. I went through London and saw Leela. She was all right. That was in March. And I went on to Beirut. And in June, I was back in London and I was a pallbearer at her funeral. And Doug wrote these words to me later in a letter. Yes, there is much for which to thank God. As I've reflected on Thanksgiving, I believe it is the hallmark of a victorious Christian. Joyful Thanksgiving at all times for everything is the outflow of the Spirit-filled life. When we thank God for everything, we're trusting God in everything. When we thank God for everything, we're submitting to God in everything. What disturbs us is not adverse circumstances, but our attitude toward them. It is not our job to control or change circumstances. They are the sovereign choice of our almighty and all-wise Lord. We are merely to react to our circumstances in faith and submission, resulting in joyful thanksgiving. Thus, we overcome difficult circumstances, whether they change or not. When I begin to thank God honestly in difficulties, I experience the Holy Spirit giving the fruit of love, joy, and peace. And it is then that I become more than a conqueror of circumstances, but a conqueror in circumstances. And I thought, well, he should know. Why does God want my thanks? Because as I give him thanks, it is a testimony that he is my sovereign Lord, and I understand the sovereignty of God. He is in control, and he will only do that which is good and perfect for me, because he loves me. He wants me to give him thanks and praise. It demonstrates he is sovereign, and he will do that which is best. When we give thanks and rejoice, and it has become the pattern of our life, you are not a thermometer personality registering the temperature of your environment, but you rather are a thermostat personality setting the temperature. A thermometer just reacts. Gets hot, woo, gets cold, down, up, down. God says, I don't want any thermometers, I want thermostats. I'm in control. And you mirror this. Walk worthy of me. Rejoice evermore. Thank God in everything. All right? What will help me become a joyful, thankful Christian? Philippians 4, 4, 5, and 6 tell us this. Let's read Philippians 4, 4, 5, and 6, shall we? You probably can quote it, but let's just read it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How can I become a joyful, thankful Christian? 1 Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again I say, rejoice. For as a man, it says in Proverbs 23, 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you will think, so you will become. But how do you do that? Verse 8 tells us of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And this is the way you will become thankful and full of rejoicing. And this is what we're talking about this week. Fixing our mind upon him and his word. Rejoice in the Lord always is a command. We obey the scriptures. And we fill our minds with what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely. As we think and meditate on it, God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he will be. Thank him. Praise him. Sing praises unto him. God says, you'll become a joyful, thankful person. Philippians 4, 5. The next verse is another step. Let all men know your forbearance. Now, what does that mean? Well, now, I thought forbearance meant one thing, but in the translation here, it has this idea. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. Your what? Let all men know your unselfishness, your considerateness. Not only do you talk thankful, he says, live thankful. Don't live for yourself. Reach out and help somebody else. Now, I want to teach my kids to be thankful. One thing I want to get across is to be thankful. So, we come to the meal and we just give thanks, huh? We pray. That's one thing we do. But you know what else we do? We turn to Mother and we say, Mom, thanks for the great meal. This is lovely. Thank you. We fill our stomachs, we get up from the table and leave her with all the dirty dishes. Really teaching them thankfulness, huh? No siree. We not only tell Mom, thanks for the meal, Mom, but let us help with the dishes. Then I get all kinds of complaints. I don't get any Thanksgiving then. But let all men know your unselfishness, your considerateness. Jesus, hanging on the cross, he looks down and tells John, take care of Mother. John, that's your mother. Mom, that's your son. As he was hanging on the cross. And then we know from Philippians 2, his considerateness. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Without exception, the people who are always thankful, rejoicing people are people who are genuinely interested in others. This will help us to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Not only to say rejoicing, but to live rejoicing. And then verse 6. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Always do that. Live that way, verse 5. Verse 6, when you pray, give thanks. Just don't list your needs, count your blessings. Make that a discipline. Sit down and occasionally count your blessings. Periodically, just do it. Take a piece of paper, sit down, write them out. Praise God for the love of your wife, the affection of your children, your good health, encouragement of your friends. As you exert some effort along this line, blessings by the score will come crowding into your consciousness and you'll jump to your feet with your heart singing. Thank God. Count your blessings. Literally force yourself to do that. Obey His word. Bring your life in line with what God says to do. Affect your thinking, your actions, and your feelings, God says, will be different. How God must feel when we do not bring glory and honor because of our ungratefulness, when we do not give Him thanks, when we do not walk worthy through thanksgiving and praise of who He is. If it's possible, how we belittle God. Neither walking according to who He is or what He has said. And don't we feel small after God does not forget and He still acts according to His promises? And we've worried up a storm, and we've grumbled, and we've griped, and we've complained, and we haven't reflected who He was in thanksgiving and praise that God was going to work. Years ago, there was a shipwreck in Lake Michigan. A powerful swimmer, who was then a student of Northwestern University, rescued 23 persons before he finally collapsed. Some years after that, in Los Angeles, Dr. R.E. Torrey was telling the story about this young man's concern and his heroic deeds. To his astonishment, he found out that the young man, now an old man, was in the audience. In talking with the rescuer, he asked him what was the most significant thing about the rescue. The thing that stood out most in his memory after all those intervening years. The rescuer dropped his eyes and in a low voice said, not one of them said thanks. Let's pray.
Oh God, tonight, we pray that our lives, our attitude would be one of thanksgiving and praise as to who you are. Lord, in the hard things that we would say thank you, you know what's best. You are my God. You work all things according to your will. Lord, that we might praise you and thank you because you desire glory, our glory, that our lives bring glory to you, and that we might live that our lives bring glory. Father, that you know it helps us that we might see things from your perspective, that we might continue to be a learner and to go on to more truth and not stay in a hole of self-pity and complaining. So God, I pray that we might see who you are, sovereign, holy Lord, maker of heaven and earth, and that our lives would reflect your promises and your word in thanksgiving and praise. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for allowing us the privilege of ministering to you by way of this cassette. You can multiply this ministry by sharing this cassette with someone else.